the more human-centric the way you think about things, yeah, the more human you are.
That's interesting.
Or at least the more humane you act.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right, so here's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Religion.
All right, let's do it.
Spirituality, religion, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
So are you religious? Are you spiritual?
What's your standing on? My dad is Jain. Okay. My mother was Hindu. And I grew up Jain, so I don't eat meat.
Okay.
But Jainism is not even just meat, but like anything that's grown inside the ground in the dirt, and even things like that. So my grandma, she wouldn't eat potatoes, carrots, and a whole bunch of stuff like that because it's grown in the ground.
Okay.
And the whole concept behind it is non-violent.
Okay.
So if you're eating meat, you're being violent.
Violent.
If you're even like killing ants, you're being violent.
Violent.
So I grew up around that. So my closest religion would be Jainism. I would say that I probably practice the core principles. There's only like three or four of them, but I don't religiously practice them. So I don't generally go to the temple or anything like that. But up till from about 12 years old till about 16, like right when I got my license, I went to Sunday school.
Okay.
And just a quick anecdote on that, I now realize how much that actually impacted a lot of things about how I think about things.
All right, we'll come back to that.
Cool,
because that's an interesting point. Weird side note, but it fits into this episode.
Yeah.
You said even killing an ant or something like that is violent, right? So it's against that religion.
Yeah.
So you growing up as a child, did you ever like kill bugs or things like that? Or did you know not to do that because it was
against
the
religion? I knew not to do that.
Okay.
And it was because when we had ants in our house, we did our best to not kill any, but get them out of there.
Okay.
Right? And it would be things like, you know, even a spider try to get, especially if my grandma was there. So I grew up mostly with my grandma being around and my grandpa.
Yeah.
And like she was super religious. Like she prayed 75% of the day. So like if a spider or something got in there, we always try to take it out without doing harm to it, basically.
You know, the reason why I ask is because I find it fascinating watching my boys, especially when they were babies.
Yeah.
Oh, my smaller one is still a baby.
Sure.
Kill bugs like with a passion and with a curiosity, with a... the cold
like a farmer,
hearted,
literally
babies, they can't talk or walk it, and then they see a bug and they just go with the finger and they want to touch it, but not just touch it, they want to just push on it.
I understand it, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is so interesting because we don't have a television at home.
Yeah.
They didn't see me kill bugs or ants or anything like that, but they have that like, and I was always wondering if that's like the man's instinct to kill and hunt, like well, where that's coming from.
I think it's just curiosity, and they're not touching it to kill it, they're touching it to like feel it.
Yes, sometimes, but sometimes I have the feeling that like even once they've done it a few times and then they now realize that, oh, if I push it really hard, it's going to like break technically. They still go for it just because they're curious with that relationship. There's something interesting of watching a baby or child kill an insect. Anyways, weird side note. I was just observing that with my babies, and then when you said that, I was like, oh, I wonder if you, as a growing up as a little child, didn't do that.
I'm pretty sensitive to those things. Yeah,
right, that's
I mean,
cool.
I tried not to do it. I'm sure I did it.
Right.
I mean, magnifying glass, ants, like it's kind of cool.
It is kind of interesting.
In the sun.
All right, so Sunday school.
Yeah.
You said that you just recently realized or started thinking about the influence that had on you.
Yeah.
Tell me about Sunday school. What exactly was that
like? Yeah, we just went. It was 2 or 3 hours, and we would just go through a couple classes, and they would just talk about Jainism and the principles, right? And about like how like what that really meant. So I think there's one big principle called ahimsa, which is basically nonviolence, non-injury.
Okay.
And that's the main principle in the religion.
Okay.
So as you live your life, you shouldn't be violent against other human beings or other living things through action, speech, or thoughts.
Mm.
Because it's a very like it's like Hinduism around karma and stuff like that. That
right.
really plays into it. Jains believe in reincarnation in the same way.
Okay.
Things like that. So you know.
Is there like is there a way to break out of this cycle like in Buddhism or
yeah.
or not?
Yeah.
Like,
if you what I like to say about it is if you're really a true Jain all the way to the extreme, you're gonna basically be naked in the forest, just chilling out till you die. And the reason is, like, then that's the most extreme way to be least invasive to the planet, to other living things. And that's probably the way you would get what they call moksha, which is, like, out of that cycle and into not even God, but, like, that sort of heaven type thing.
Okay. Equivalent. So nonviolence is a core principle.
Yeah.
Is that the highest pinnacle of what you're trying to achieve? It's not like doing anything else. As long as you can be nonviolent, you're like, you're good.
Yeah, so that's the first principle. And the second principle is, it's got a longer name, but it's basically non-absolutism.
Okay.
So I actually believe, I think it's part of my personality, but I believe part of the being able to accept things that you don't necessarily believe. So that's kind of the idea of non-absolutism in my mind. So it's basically just being extremely open-minded to other people's ideas, other people's views, even if they're not your own.
Detachment from Buddhism comes to mind,
so,
right?
So one of the ways that I practice that, or just, I don't think I consciously practice, I think it's very subconscious, but is like when people want to go out somewhere, right, and have like dinner, I don't care if it's a steakhouse, even though I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
So one, I'm not judging them for eating meat. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if they eat meat in front of me. I don't even mind if they start spilling the juices on me for whatever reason, right? It doesn't bother me. I don't mind if I mistakenly eat meat either, okay, as long as I didn't consciously do it.
Okay.
Right? So that's the way I think about it. So that's, I think, that one. And there's a couple more, so I'll just go through them.
I find this interesting. Yeah.
Another one's non-possessiveness.
Non-possessiveness.
So they say that's the idea of taking no more than is necessary. So, like, trying not to have ownership over people, things, objects, whatever it may be.
How do you rank on that one?
I think that's probably one of the harder ones. I think the other two are a little bit easier for me. I think the whole non-possessiveness, I think the way the world works today is, like, we want more, right? So it's and a lot of these principles are actually quite hard to practice in today's reality. Like, even eating meat. Not eating meat can be hard sometimes in certain areas or certain situations, right? But you figure it out. Bread and butter, it's all good, whatever. So I think that one is all about minimizing the tendency to hoard unnecessary possessions and stuff like that. I'm actually looking at the Wikipedia because it's helping me kind of understand these a little bit better. So those are basically the three main principles.
So the way you talk about it... Yeah. Sounds more to me appears more to be like a framework that is kind of something that you find useful as a guidance system, and where you can logically like think through it and go, this makes sense. I kind of like these principles to life. There's some part of it that's upbringing, tradition, like my roots, my family. But it doesn't sound like the religious part of this is probably the thing that you're like that. Do you truly believe that you're going to be reincarnated, for instance? That's kind of less of a framework and more of like a practice. Do you truly believe in the physical act of being reincarnated and living multiple lives?
Yeah. I'm not religious enough to even answer that question. So what I mean by that is, like, I mean, honestly, like, I like believing things I can see, feel, touch that I can consider the truth. And what's funny is one of the vows of Jainism, there's five vows also.
Okay.
Some of them are overlapping, but it's like one's called Satya, and that actually means truth. So the vow is to always speak the truth.
Okay.
Given that nonviolence has priority, other principles yield to it whenever they conflict. So they always go back to the truth. So it's like, hey, I don't know if that's actually true. Okay. Now, do I personally believe those things? I personally believe those things because I like people. And some people, when I meet them, I feel like I'm already connected to them. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
One explanation is I met them in a previous life.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I have no idea.
All right. So, but you like the framework of it.
Yeah. Here's where it gets interesting, though. You can be reincarnated into an ant.
Right.
So that's where it gets interesting, where it's like reincarnation, the way it actually works in this religion is depending on how much karma you had while you were human, which is supposed to be a special state of reincarnation, on your next life, you're going to go one way or another, right?
I once heard the Dalai Lama, somebody asked him about his vices and mentioned that he really loves honey.
Yeah.
And he started laughing, as he always does, and was like, yeah, I really love honey. And, you know, I once thought that if I live a truly good life, maybe in my next life I'm going to be a bee. And that that made me look at bees totally differently. This right? sounds a little weird, but yeah. every time I see a bee now, I'm like, oh, might have been a Dalai Lama and a Brahma.
Yeah, exactly. And that's right. basically any living thing. Even honestly, even a plant. It has a
yeah,
soul,
yeah.
and you can be reincarnated yeah, into that. Yeah, so yeah. based on those concepts, I don't know if I believe it, because I can't prove that we have souls. I can't. Yeah. But like when I meet people that I feel like I've known a long time and I've never met them before in this life,
mm-hmm.
those are the kind of things that give me some evidence of this. But it's fake still. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no truth to it. I'll never know.
Yeah.
None of us are ever going to know this.
Yeah.
So I tend not to believe things I'm not going to, you know as truth.
Okay. Let's talk about Sunday school. So what exactly do you do at Sunday school in this particular religion?
Yeah, so there's two parts of it. One was, so most Jains are Gujarati, so that's the language.
Okay.
So some of it was the language and writing it and stuff, which never stuck okay. with me. So I can speak Gujarati,
mm-hmm.
not even because of the Sunday school, but because when I was growing up, on weekends, if I didn't speak in Gujarati, they wouldn't answer me.
Mm.
This was like when I was like 3, 4, 5, like they started doing that.
Okay.
And so I have a pretty good vocabulary there and I can understand it. I get made fun of when I go to India and speak it though.
Okay.
So obviously I'm not that good at it. I cannot write it, but they try to teach me that in Sunday school.
Okay.
So that was half of it. The other half of it was all about these religious beliefs and like explaining them, telling stories and things like that. To like explain what they are and what they mean. And some of it ended up being really practical, partly because my dad was a teacher at different times
mm-hmm.
or a co-teacher. And he always tried to bring it back to in this reality, in the world we live in today, because this religion was created a long time ago.
Yeah.
In the world we live in today, how do you practice this? So I grew up with all that around me.
So what was the biggest influence on the lessons that you learned there in terms of who you are today and how you do things?
Yeah, I think there's a whole bunch of like, whether it's quotes or things out there that align with this philosophy a lot, mm-hmm. like whether it's a Zig Ziglar one, which we've talked about
yeah.
before, of like, you know, you'll get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. That
yep.
actually really, if you look at all the Jainism principles, it kind of aligns with that. Even the idea of like do unto others what you'd want them to do to you kind of thing. So it impacted me where like I gravitate towards that philosophy. And that's how I really live a lot of my life. But the origins of it for me were this religion. Which honestly, I wouldn't call myself a religious person.
Yeah.
But yet, I'm vegetarian. I believe in nonviolence, and you know the truth aspects and the whole non-possessiveness. I like all that stuff.
You had any? Have you ever had like spiritual moments, like a moment where you felt very intensely something that you could not explain in the moment, or you experienced something that can be described through more spiritual language, but not through more scientific. You know, worldly language.
For me, I don't think there's been events that I would consider like that.
Okay.
But I think there's been meetings or conversations or hanging out with people that I would say were more spiritual on the spiritual side than less. But to me, that had a lot to do with the conversations we were having.
Okay.
So if you get into like a metaphysical conversation or a higher level conversation about sort of why trees are green,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That can turn into spiritual things if you're talking with the right person about it. So for me, my moments have more been along the lines of like the conversations I got into somebody with.
All right. There's an interesting thread. I mean, you know about that of like people and how
yeah.
like almost
for me that's my thread.
Almost like anything we talk about comes back to people,
yeah.
right? It's a beautiful thing.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think so.
Cool.
I think the more human-centric the way you think about things,
yeah.
the more human you are.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or at least the more humane you act, right?
Sure.
All right. So.
So what's your relationship with religion? What do you got?
Yeah. So I grew up Greek Orthodox.
Okay.
Well, on one hand, my mom was kind of religious, so we went to church on Sundays.
Yeah.
But I didn't give a fuck. Like, Greek Orthodox churches are really beautiful, but then the actual, like, sermon or whatever.
Prayer, sermon, all that.
It's kind of like they speak a very old language, and it's kind of like chanting.
Got it.
It's very dark, and it's like it's very guilt-driven. You walk into, like, this massive church, and and they have tons of pictures of like Jesus and Mary and all that. They all look at you as like they're suffering and you should be, you fuck me over. Like they have that look at you. So it's a very guilt infusing space.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then the chants are very like, oh, so it's like,
yeah.
not necessarily in a great environment for a kid. Like, I was just standing around there for 5 minutes trying to, like, yeah, get like, the okay you, from the
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, yeah, to
can
bounce.
I just fuck out? Yeah, yeah. And then all the kids would be outside the church just doing some shit.
Yeah, yeah. And we'd do the same in our stuff whenever we could, like, whenever events, because it was,
So
I think that's normal, right? So, when you're a kid, you're like, what is this shit? Like, I don't know. Yeah,
so
totally.
The one part, I was kind of just... You know, more culturally religious than spiritually religious growing up.
But on,
The other part, my grandmother was very, very religious, like insanely religious.
Yeah.
And she lived the last, I don't know, like 6 years of her life with us.
Yeah.
And she had cancer. She was really sick. And I practiced some, I did some super religious things to help her, and it gave her a lot. So I had a very, like, the most orthodox religious moments I had was with her, because every night, for instance, I would go over, I had a book with her, like, prayers, and I would sit down and I would pray with her, and she would, like, cry, and she would hug me, and she would, it would give her a lot.
Yeah, it would matter. It mattered to her.
And it mattered to me to have that moment with her, but not necessarily, I don't know how much it mattered, like, what I was actually reading. Like, it was, I didn't feel spiritual.
Me neither. Like, I just, I used
helped my grandmother.
Yeah, like, with my grandma, I used to do that too, right? Like, she'd want to do what they call a puja. Mm. And a puja is like a good half hour, like, ordeal. And it's like probably a half hour for her to set it up. But whenever